Yes, sir. A Friday edition of the Lowdown. Thank you to Wordplay Official for that introduction there. And welcome back, Jason Ross.
What's up, Damien?
We missed you.
Yeah.
Damien Barlow.
How are things?
Fantastic.
Yeah?
We made it to a Friday.
We did.
Just barely.
And it's a football weekend.
It is a football weekend. Yeah. Kicked off last night. Ohio State really wanted to crap on my Thursday afternoon there for a while.
Have you stressing for a little bit?
Well, I can't say I was necessarily stressed. You know what it is with Ohio State is no one ever thinks they're good.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what they do, it's like they're just not that good. And every once in a while, they do things like they did last night, at least for a half and mm-hmm. some change, if it was that long, where you're like, oh, maybe they're not that good.
Yeah.
But, you know,
then an easy win.
Then they open up and they get running. Oklahoma State won big yesterday. We'll dig into some college football a little bit later on. Big, big weekend ahead. I know we've been excited about the 1-3, the Bama versus Florida State. I didn't realize that was the biggest opening season game in the history of college football in terms of rankings.
Game of the century.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
We just had
the fight of the century.
It was. It lived up to it.
Yeah. And now we got the game of the century.
Yeah. How about that?
Exciting stuff. Yeah. All in a span of a week.
That's right. Yeah.
Imagine that. Reese Hoskins is perhaps having the stretch of the century in Major League Baseball. Sacramento native, Sac State Jesuit, and member of the Philadelphia Phillies. He going to join us right around 2:10 or so.
Okay.
Reese Hoskins will be with us. So.
Will he have time? I mean, he's probably busy hitting home runs in BP or whatever.
Well, they got a game today, so he's carving out a few minutes for us. Very gracious of him. Philadelphia has a series with the Miami Marlins. So Reese Hoskins, about 2:10, he will be with us. We'll have the latest updates on Isaiah Thomas. The new Celtics were introduced today, new Celtics being both Gordon Hayward and Isaiah Thomas. Kyrie Irving. Isaiah wasn't introduced to the Cleveland Cavalier media group today, but we'll let you know what Kyrie had to say. Some news coming out from John Jones. Why the Lakers' tampering penalty is actually dumber. You weren't here to talk about this yesterday. Curious to get your thoughts on it. We'll dig on it here before we wrap up this first hour. But I was thinking this morning, the fact that the Lakers got hit with a tampering penalty, no matter what you think of the penalty, and we were in a consensus everybody here in the studio and the 1% that jumps in here on the show as well, the penalty wasn't enough.
Right.
But I think there's a lot more to think about. Just how truly stupid this entire thing is. And we'll have that for you. We'll talk a little bit of preseason football. But we'll start with Ezekiel Elliott.
Kind of interesting, huh?
I don't know that interesting is the word. I think bad is the word. This is bad.
For?
Everyone involved. The NFL looks bad. Roger Goodell looks like a dictator. And I don't know that, you know what, you know who might not look bad in all of this? This might be the first time this phrase has ever been uttered, is Jerry freaking Jones.
Yeah, and slightly Ezekiel. If they get to the suspension reduction, which some people are claiming is going to happen. And I think for them to jump out in front before anything from the NFL has technically been stated, for them to file these claims, they're going right at the court of public opinion, which is already what we've always argued. Wait, how can Roger Goodell be in charge of this and this and this and basically have all the power, and the NFL have all the power? Mm-hmm. So they're going right at it to just kind of make this look silly.
And Chris and I were talking because we were sitting here and I was reading some of the report that had come out, some of the transcripts of all of the different alleged domestic violence incidents that have been posted online. And just as we're talking this out, I realized, you know, we look at it as like a preemptive measure by the NFL Players Association and Ezekiel Elliott and his representatives. Then I realized when they filed that lawsuit and used the NFL, remember, the NFL wasn't releasing that report, but because they filed that lawsuit, it's now an exhibit. It's an exhibit in the lawsuit, which means it can be made public. I'm wondering if they filed that lawsuit so this can be made public. So that report can be made public. And we can sit here and read through all of the Look, I don't know what happened. But I know the details are ridiculous. And it reads like whatever your opinion is on Ezekiel Elliott and whatever your opinion is on this case, you can read it. And it'll fit your narrative because you can read it and go, see, look what he did to her. Or you can read it and go, dude, this doesn't even sound real.
Mm-hmm.
And there are things that Ezekiel Elliott allegedly said. This doesn't sound real. Who talks like this? You know, there's that famous line that was put out there after the suspension was levied, that the Tiffany Thompson has said, "I'm going to ruin your career. I'm going to ruin your life." And when the report outlines how that phrase was uttered, you read it like, who talks like that?
Mm-hmm.
Like, who does that? Now, granted, it certainly could have happened, but you look at it like, this isn't, dude, what are we looking at? This looks like fiction. But if you're on the other side of where you're taking everything, every instance of domestic violence, and you're taking it seriously, you're listening to the victim, you're doing all this, you can just read it and go, see. You can even look at it and go, six games isn't enough. It's so strange. It's so uncomfortable. And I'm going to go back to that word. It's so bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a bad look.
Yep.
And now what?
Yeah, exactly. Now what? We're still waiting on the NFL's part of the first look at, from the hearing to now Ezekiel's claim. And it's just they're in such a weird spot. But I think it's interesting that I think there's a couple of football, I'll say insiders or experts, that do think this may end up getting reduced.
Okay, so let's go there now, Jason. Chuck and I were speculating yesterday. We had Drew Davidson on, our beat writer for the Dallas Cowboys, a couple of days ago. And the question I posed to him that he couldn't answer, and I don't think anybody can effectively answer this yet, is it zero games or a lawsuit? Because that's what I feel like we're at. 6-4, I don't think is going to appease Jerry Jones, the Dallas Cowboys, Ezekiel Elliott, or his representatives. I think.
Yeah, but what if it's like 2 or 3?
So I think two.
I think they just they I think, eat that and go.
I think two, maybe there's a conversation. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's a conversation with two. But I still feel like this might. We said this a while ago. The flake gate's going to look like nothing when this thing is over.
Mm-hmm.
If they're hell bent, if I'm Ezekiel Elliott and I didn't do it. If I didn't put my hands on that woman, I didn't hurt that woman, I didn't do any of the things I'm being accused of, I'm not taking the two. I'll go down fighting like Tom Brady did. Tom Brady was insistent all the way till the end that he did nothing wrong. I think he's insistent to this day that he did nothing wrong. I would do the same thing if I'm Ezekiel Elliott. Because if there's any form of admission, how does that look to Nike or Adidas? Or Coke,
right.
or Madden, or DirecTV, or whoever, whatever potential endorser that may be out there for him. This is I feel like with football players, domestic violence and PED use isn't a scarlet letter.
Mm-hmm.
Any other sport, it is. But football, I just think we look at football players as Neanderthals. Because they run into each other 1,000
different
miles
mentality.
An hour. We don't look at them the same way we look at other professional athletes. I don't know why that is. My Neanderthal comment was an assumption.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still there. And because of how publicized it is, because it's gone on for, you know, the investigation has gone on for over a year now, he's only been in the league a year. This is going to be a tough thing for him to shake. So if he didn't do it, I think he has to go the Tom Brady route. And you can think whatever you want about Tom Brady, but Tom Brady never conceded to anything in that investigation. There were reports early on the NFL would consider reducing the suspension if he admitted, you know, whatever. I don't blame him for not. If he truly believes he didn't do anything wrong, and whether you have an opinion on that or whatever your opinion on that is irrelevant. If Tom Brady feels he did nothing wrong and he's going to stand by that all the way till the bitter end, Ezekiel Elliott has to do the same thing, even if it results in a 6-game suspension.
Yeah, but I always felt that Tom Brady was trying to poke at Goodell's authority. Should he have that much authority as opposed to whether or not he was guilty? And in the end, he still got his 4-game suspension.
Well, and that's what we're talking about now. We're essentially talking about the same exact thing because one of the biggest revelation that we learned last night was a woman's name who you're going to be hearing a whole lot about over the course of the next couple of days or over the course of the next year and a half is Kia Wright Roberts. She is the NFL's Director of Investigations for Domestic Violence, and she conducted the NFL-led investigation that went on for over a year into this. It's being categorized as an incident. These incidents And she went back. She is the only person within the NFL to interview Tiffany Thompson, Ezekiel Elliott's accuser. And she recommended no discipline.
Right.
This just isn't strong enough. Like, there should not be any discipline for Ezekiel Elliott. Roger Goodell essentially said, okay, thank you.
Right.
Never brought her into the meetings, had his, you know, his inner circle. Oh, I'm sorry. His independent advisors with him.
Yeah.
And we went from zero to six.
That's where the gap is, right? Because that's why Ezekiel's group is saying the known quantity is who has talked to her. They're making a fun of this, mockery of it, that look at what's happening. Someone that was actually talking to her suggested zero games. The commissioner, who's in charge of everything, has stated six. But until, you know, owners approved basically Goodell to have this power, players basically approved to have Goodell to have this power. I think it's smart for Ezekiel's camp to do this, to basically poke holes in this and look and let everybody see how ridiculous it is, which I think we all agree. But in the end, if Goodell is judge, jury, and executioner, he still might get the six games in some sense.
So what we have here is a guaranteed fight in 2021, mm-hmm. or the end of the 2020 season. The other thing this does, though, is this actually explains why Jerry Jones kept saying the things that he did. He was so obviously told by either Keo Roberts or someone associated with that investigation that Kia believed that there wasn't enough evidence to warrant any kind of suspension. We had wondered what Jerry Jones knew that we didn't know. And this is it. He was probably flat out told, we're recommending no suspension for Ezekiel Elliott. I think that was that is one question that was answered last night when that report leaked,
yeah.
or where when that report was made public because of the lawsuit.
Well, and the other part, I think it's a side story to this, but we mentioned it last week with Goodell having some securities going forward where his contract is going to be. But where Damaris Smith is, who's representing the players, he's got a potential election here in October on whether or not he can go forward. And, mm-hmm. you know, if there's some little uncertainty in there with who's representing the players or a new face, it just this there's a couple layers to this, but I think everybody wants some resolution here.
I don't think we're going to get it.
Maybe not for a while if his group's going to fight it.
We posed the question also. We had read that there was pressure coming to Harold Henderson to get the ruling done by Monday. And we assumed that that was probably coming from Jerry Jones. Now I think it might have been coming from the NFL, because I think there's a certain time frame that the NFL has where if this punishment comes out on or if the ruling from the arbitrator Harold Henderson comes out on like Tuesday or Wednesday, whether it's an appeal or a race to the courts or whatever it is, it almost automatically allows Ezekiel Elliott to be eligible for Monday's game.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I don't know how much that played into it. I have to imagine. Let's remember, it's the Giants and the Cowboys on Sunday Night Football to mm-hmm. open up the Sunday Night Football season. How many people do you think are going to be watching that?
Oh, majority of the televisions.
And when number 21 is in the backfield, what do you think the first story of that game is going to be?
Oh, there's before he's even carried the ball.
It's this.
Yeah.
When
out of the game.
When Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth yep. open up that broadcast from the stadium, the first thing
it's
they're
the
going to mention
yeah.
is Ezekiel Elliott.
No matter where we are with it, if he's
yep.
playing or if he's not, that is the headline for sure.
But if he's playing and his case is in appeal
yeah.
or it's going to, I don't know what's next. Is it federal court? I don't know. Whatever court of
somewhere
law
down
is
the line.
Next,
yeah.
that's going to be the dominant part of the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
If he's not there, I feel like it's brought up, it's left, and then you start talking about like the Cowboys cut Ronnie Hillman today. Cut day is tomorrow at 1 p.m. our time. So
they'll go into McFadden.
They'll have McFadden and
Morris.
Alfred Morris, and the conversation will be there, and it'll be brought up, okay, well, the Zeke Elliott's not here. They're going to have to rely on this. They're going to have to rely on that. But if Zeke is there, that the conversation about where he's at in terms of an appeal or in terms of going to court, it's there the entire game because Ezekiel Elliott is there
mm-hmm.
the entire game.
Yep.
And what do you think, Jerry? First question after the game, regardless of win or lose, regardless of if Ezekiel Elliott is there. They're down in the tunnel. Old Jerry comes to do his post-game press conference. I think he's the only general manager in the entire league that does this. What do you think he's going to be asked?
Yeah, oh, for sure. And they'll even have, you know, when they do cutaways and they may refocus on the story and then it'll be a comment from Jason Garrett, even if it's, you know, oh, this hasn't been a distraction. Whatever he's going to attack with his angle. But, yeah, that's going to be a major part of that first game and maybe the first few weeks.
Absolutely, yeah. But nothing bigger than that first one, which is, again, Sunday night versus the Giants, NFC East battle. We're talking we're probably talking 30 million people watching.
Yeah, they'll probably have a screen that has, you know, allegations or accusations.
Oh, my gosh, man.
Picture two shot with him and that and the graphics, and here's what we're waiting on. You know, they'll have the full rundown.
Come to think about it, 6 days from now, Thursday, the Patriots open.
It'll be brought up. I would think. Especially
well, because of the similarities.
Yeah.
Because we'll know by next.
That's a good point.
We'll know by next Thursday whether.
What's happening at least.
Right. Yeah. Well, at least in terms of what's happening with the arbitrator. Obviously, this is going to court. Ezekiel Elliott's playing week one. That's my opinion, because they're going to court.
Unless I'm still going to hang on to this, and maybe I'm wrong, if it comes back to like two games, I think they may just take that. And I mean, that's my opinion. I have no idea. You might be right on the endorsements and how that can the perception of that. But Jerry might be going 6-2. Let's just be done. But I don't know.
Yeah, that's it's just
I don't know what the right answer is there, because if you're already willing to drop it to two, then you might be able to go, hey, look, there's nothing here. We already know somebody in the league office has said there wasn't anything here. Why do we even get to six? Now are we at two? What are we being penalized for?
I think I've been watching too many crime movies or too many crime shows lately. But, like, if you ever, like, have watched a show where they have, like, you know, someone is serving jail time for something, right? And then they find some direct or indirect link from that person to another crime, and they just come to him and say, look, we'll reduce your sentence if you cop to this crime too. Yeah, like, mm-hmm. I feel like that's what we're talking about here. Like, look, we'll reduce your sentence from 6-2 games. Just don't say anything about what happened.
Yeah.
Like, don't talk about it. Don't proclaim your innocence. Just say, I'm going to serve these two games and move on. Dude, essentially, what Brady had to do. Brady just said, look, we're not going to Supreme Court, because that was the next step, if you recall, for Deflategate. Just, I'll serve the suspension. It's done.
Yeah.
Never had to admit anything. Never had to do it. Just kind of moved on from it. But he didn't get a reduction. So if the NFL.
But he bought time, like almost two. Was it 2 years, a year or something? A year plus?
He bought a full year.
Yeah.
A full year for sure. I don't think it was two, but it went from the playoffs.
You're right. It was a full year.
It was a full season, which is what I think the Cowboys can do. And it's what I think they will do. But it goes back to the question that we won't have an answer to till until Harold Henderson's ruling comes out. Is it six game? Is it 0 games for Zeke and the Players Association and the Dallas Cowboys? Or is it court?
Yeah.
Those, I feel like, are the only two options for this team, for that group. And with this report that the investigator, the NFL-appointed investigator, said no games. That's what they're going to take to every court of law.
Mm-hmm.
How can the it's like a detective. It feels like it's a detective saying, yeah, we got nothing here. Like, we don't know what to do. There's nothing here. We can't arrest this person. And then a judge walking in and go, just throw him in jail.
Right.
What are we doing? Damn all this other stuff. Just put him in jail.
Yeah. But wait a minute. What's the evidence?
Now, again, we've said this 1,000 times over the last week. This isn't court. This isn't civil court. This isn't criminal court.
Exactly.
There is no due process when it comes to the NFL.
Right. Which is what in these cases, the Players Association owners, they agreed to this, the way it's being handled.
I love this text at 44-1140. It says, it sounds like Damian watches The Center, which is a TV show. And yes, that is exactly what made me think of that, because I just saw it 2 nights ago.
What's that one?
It's Jessica...
Oh,
I get
yeah.
Alba Beal? And Beal. Jessica Biel.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mrs. Timberlake.
For it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good?
It's very good.
Okay.
It's really, really good. And, yeah, there was a scene where they go to her to try to get her to confess to a different murder by reducing her sentence. Like, if you but she's like, I didn't do it. Like, I didn't commit this murder.
Yeah,
yeah, but if you say you did, we'll reduce your suspension. Yeah. Or your suspension. We'll reduce your jail time.
Yeah.
So, Zeke, okay, you didn't do it. We don't have any proof, but you know this is the NFL.
Yeah.
Proof doesn't matter.
Yeah, we need something.
Just own it. We'll go from 6 to 2. You'll be back playing in week 3. Everybody moves along happy. I don't know how you deal with that.
I don't know either. If you keep fighting that.
Especially if you didn't do it. And this report from Kia Roberts just makes it so mind-boggling. Because you were told by the investigator, we got nothing. No suspension. There's nothing to recommend here. Nothing. Like, how, if you're Ezekiel Elliott, do you go, okay, well, I'll take 2 games. Even though the person who was investigating this said 0, I'll take 2. I don't know how you do that.
What if you did do it? Then you kind of go, you know what, I'll get out of here with my 2.
And that's fair.
Because he's the only one that knows, right? I mean, I'm trying to think, yeah, if I'm innocent, I'm fighting this forever. But I don't know. I mean, it feels like there's some smoke, but I don't know the details. I mean, because we know of the other incidents, but that's not what he's being, you know, charged or accused of.
Mm-hmm.
It's this one, and
The report is really weird. It's you know, if you read the Ray Rice stuff, if you read even the Josh Brown stuff, which was just lengthy and just tedious, it doesn't read like that.
Right.
It reads like something totally different. That doesn't mean it didn't happen. That just means it reads like a one-night stand went wrong,
mm-hmm.
which it doesn't appear that this what this woman was. It just it reads bad. Like, it just reads really, really awful.
Yeah.
And it's like, going back to how we started this, the word that just describes all of this for everybody involved is bad. And the only one who I think looks good, at least right now, is Jerry Jones. Because Jerry Jones is like, I told you,
mm-hmm.
there was nothing there. The NFL investigator said there was nothing there. Why do you think I kept saying that? Why do you think I was saying that before all the Hall of Fame? Why do you think I was saying that on my big stage? There was nothing there. Now it's public that there was nothing there. And the way the punishment system in the NFL now has been exposed in a way we knew. I mean, it was exposed before, but never in this type of manner.
Correct.
This is, even regardless of what you think about Zeke or the Cowboys, you're looking at this like, what is this?
Right.
Really?
Which Messy.
Is why that Deflategate case was so important, man. We'll come back. Le'Veon Bell's back at camp. We'll talk a little bit about that. 44-11-40 here on the text line. You want to jump in? We'll also open up the phone lines for you. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. The Friday edition of The Lowdown is underway. I'm listening to this book called Original Gangsters. It's about the rise of West Coast hip-hop music. It's a great kind of companion piece to Straight Outta Compton. Now, mm-hmm. it gets far more in depth with other rappers besides N.W.A., but it gives a great, like I said, it's just a great companion piece. One thing that Straight Outta Compton left out that I thought was rather interesting, I think, I don't know that I had heard this before. I feel like it would have stuck in my mind. You know that Dr. Dre had like 5 kids before he was 20?
No, I didn't know that.
Oh, he was impregnating everything.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he's prolific.
Yeah, he was accurate.
Yeah,
that's what he was. He was very accurate. Speaking of kids, Serena Williams.
Yeah,
had her baby.
Hey, congrats!
Congrats, Serena. I'm sure she's listening. Serena, congratulations to you. Reading a lot more about this Ezekiel Elliott thing. Michael McCain, the sports lawyer who does some stuff for, I think it's Sports Illustrated. He was talking about Article 46, which is what gives in the collective bargaining agreement, which gives Roger Goodell all that power. And one of the reasons that the NFLPA didn't fight it so much, and one of the reasons that the players didn't fight it so much during the last collective bargaining agreement, was because it really they determined that it only affects about 1% of players. And it just happens to be that those situations are really high profile.
Very high profile. I mean, we all get the news and we all dissect it and cover it.
But it's so hard to fight for something that affects so, so few.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, we always make the joke, well, there's 1% of people listening, and when we bring up something that really angers them, they get really, really loud about it. But it's just a small portion.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what this is. We're talking about a very, very small portion, but when that small portion is out there, it's really big.
Sure.
I mean, when was the last time we were discussing Goodell's? No one cares about, I mean, I do, because I think it's a bit ridiculous. Vontaze Burfict's suspension was reduced.
Yeah.
He's taken guys out. He went from 5 to 3.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of like, okay, whatever. Like,
and it's done.
It's done.
In and out, yeah.
But when you bring up a Dallas Cowboy, particularly one who was as great as he was last year, or you bring up Captain America in New England.
Sure.
That 1%, as we say, that 1% is it's very loud.
Yeah, and I feel like the Tom Brady case is just, what are we doing really in that one? I mean, it's done, but what were we doing over a deflated football? Like, just the whole premise to me was what really drove me crazy. Now, this is far more serious with what's going on with Ezekiel Elliott, if it's true. If it's not, either way, you have to fully look into it. But the Tom Brady one was just silly.
Excuse the expression. It's a pissing contest.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Right. Because they were fighting, like, you shouldn't have this much control. He was fighting with, you know.
We were talking about a guy walking into the bathroom with the game balls in his hand.
Mm-hmm.
A bag of game balls. He's going into the bathroom. What did he do in the bathroom? How long was he there? Did they time it? Is that enough time to take pressure out of the football? What?
Now we need your cell phone, Tom. Like, what were your – and it's like, really?
See, okay, again, another great example, as if we continuously need one, but another great example is this case and what the NFLPA did to file this lawsuit to make a bunch of stuff that wasn't going to be made public. Think about it if Tom Brady does turn over his cell phone. Here, take it. And one or two messages, one or two things that shouldn't be released publicly is. I don't blame him for 2 seconds for not turning over his phone.
Yeah.
Because this is the type of stuff that happens. These are the types of games that the NFL plays with their players, with their union, to show, hey, we're in charge. We run this. You follow our lead. So if we want to leak a message between Tom Brady and his mistress, well, that's what we're going to do. And there's nothing you can do about it. So I'll never fault him for not turning over his phone.
Right.
Whatever the reason he gave, whether he gets a new one it doesn't matter. If he had just flat out said, screw you, no, I don't blame him.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't give my phone to CBS Radio.
Right.
We need to analyze your text conversations with Deuce Mason. Hmm. We think you guys are up to some chicanery here.
Yeah.
No, you can't have my phone.
Right.
Oh, well, we don't need to see anything else. We just need to see your text exchanges. No.
Right.
You can't have that because I don't trust you.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're looking to benefit yourself, not me.
Right.
So you can pull anything you want out of my phone and make it look like something that it's not. Or you can pull anything out of my phone that looks exactly like what it is and put it out there and it's not supposed to be out there.
Even if it's, hey, that's exactly, we're only looking for that. Well, how do you know that?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And the similarities, the longer this case goes on, you mentioned, it's significantly more serious, but we're still talking about the same things right now. We're talking about two cases that essentially had, at least what it appears, no evidence to them, and the NFL still ruling in favor of what the NFL wants to do. William, thanks for calling, my friend.
Hey, what's up? Hey, so I just get tired of hearing about Roger Goodell being hammered on. He works for the owners. If they didn't like him, he would be fired. So everything that goes down with Goodell is backed by the owners. Mm-hmm. And if they didn't like it, they would fire him. And Ezekiel is guilty of something. And if people don't like it, well, he joined a club called the NFL. And they gave him the power to do this. So if they don't like it, they can strike in 2021 when it ends.
Mm-hmm.
And then ruin stop the season and the Super Bowl and don't sign a contract. But they cry like crybabies. And now ever since Tom Brady got 4 games for the football, these guys are going to get suspended because they did something, even if it was just that video of him at Mardi Gras. Stop doing stupid things, and you won't get suspended. But for these guys to cry about it and then blame Goodell, they're blaming the wrong people. They should blame the owners then and go on strike when their contract ends.
You know, that's a great point, William. We appreciate you, man. Thanks for the call. You brought up some great points right there. First of all, that stop doing stupid things was very reminiscent of Jim Carrey in Liar, Liar.
Yes.
Stop breaking the law, a-ho! That's what that reminded me of. And, yes, Roger Goodell, he is basically an employee of the owners, which is it's a conversation that's worth having because we believe the owners, perhaps – one particular owner in New England was adamant about something getting done about Ezekiel Elliott, just as, from what we've learned over the last few years is there was one particular owner in Dallas who was adamant that something happened to the New England Patriots. Mm-hmm. Now, the thing about the New England Patriots, while Jerry Jones may have been the head ringleader, as he always seems to be in this type of stuff, there were a number of owners who were still really angry about Spygate and the fact that I don't know that owners were upset that they felt they were punished, but maybe not to the level, the severity that other owners would have hoped or wished. But the fact that those tapes were burned and not one single owner or one single coach or one single person ever got to see what was on those.
Right.
And they minimized it so much that it made you think they were lying. Because if it was so minimal, here, look, what are you going to get from this? Like, we'll show the public, we'll release the tape to ESPN. You can watch it sitting at home. You're not going to understand what you're seeing. Now, some coaches will be able to understand it, and they'll probably tell you, yeah, we're not going to be able to get much from that. You get a few things, but nothing really. Nothing that's going to affect the Super Bowl, certainly, which is really what we're talking about, right? The Rams Super Bowl?
Yeah.
But they didn't. Oh, y'all, we just got rid of them. There was nothing on there. Like, if I'm a coach, I would have been like, well, let me be the judge.
Right.
Hell, if I'm was it Martz? Who was the coach of that Rams team?
Yeah, I think it was Martz,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, let me be the judge of that. Let me see how little they got from all these tapes that they had. And how far back did these tapes go? There's so many questions, and this isn't like hate on the Patriots. This is just, these are real conversations that I think have been had. I would like to know if I was an NFL coach.
Absolutely.
Or a general manager.
Right.
And if I was on that St. Louis Rams team. You're damn right I want to know what
they're
was on
running
the
our plays. So, yeah, they knew more, whatever it is.
We've heard that line, yeah. Right? They knew our plays better than we did.
Right. Which suggests there was more to it.
I mean, there's a reason that these rules are implemented, right?
Exactly.
There's a reason you're not supposed to be filming. There's a reason for laws. There's a reason for rules. Well, the rules were broken. Did they gain a competitive advantage? We'll never know. And I think that rubs so many people the wrong way. So now I think you have, again, I'll use this expression. I promise it's the last time I'm going to use it today. I think owners are now having a pissing contest with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry, Robert,
the more powerful ones.
It's like they're battling for the affection of Roger Goodell.
Yeah.
It's the strangest love triangle in the history of sports. We're back with more of the Lowdown next. I was tempted to just not talk and see how long it would take for you to be like, are we just going to let the whole song play?
I was fine with it. It was good.
So I mentioned that book that I was listening to about hip-hop, and probably the least cool thing I could ever admit. Well, no, I could admit a lot of very uncool things, but when we talk about N.W.A., Boys in the Hoods, one of our theme songs, all that stuff, the guy who really got me into hip-hop was the Fresh Prince.
Nothing wrong with that.
But I mean, it's just so dramatically different than what N.W.A. is.
Doing. Yeah, yeah. It's,
I mean,
yeah.
Girls Ain't Nothing But Trouble is a whole lot different than Dope Man.
Yeah.
And Gangsta and all that stuff that came out from N.W.A. Welcome into the Lowdown. We thank you so much for being with us. Happy that Jay Ross is back with us. A lot of text coming in. I'll read this one from our man, Alex. That 1% that the rule affects usually affects far more than 1% because Brady, Zeke, Roethlisberger have an impact on the whole 52-man roster. Not a full thought by the players, only directly to 1%, but indirect to all. Now, that's correct, and I do understand the point that you're getting at, but and I'd also say that 1% sets a precedent for the rest of the league, which – for the other players, and I think that's part of the problem, right, is the precedent that's been sent with Roger Goodell. You know, remember when the Bengals were a disaster and Pac-Man was a disaster? Pac-Man was getting arrested like every day off.
Yeah.
And it was the strong arm of Roger Goodell, and it was admired. Look what he's doing. He's getting control of all this. And now it's like, okay, wait a minute. There's no rule book for any of this. He's just doing it for the sake of doing it.
And picking them out of games, random numbers. Yeah.
And that's the worst part, is the seeming randomness to all of this.
Yeah, but now if Zeke's listed at 6, it fits in the box that they said domestic abuse policy, you know, it's going to fit into a 6 games. If he gets reduced, then why even have that? Reduced like by Henderson?
Yeah, Harold Henderson.
To 4, to 3, to 2, why have the, hey, this is,
kind of almost like a blanket number. This is what happens anytime any other player. Then you mention precedent. So now every player is going to go, wait a minute. His was six. He fit in that, but he got down to two. Right. I'm in the same spot that he was.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Harold Henderson can rule to reduce the suspension to two games. Mm-hmm. But doesn't Roger Goodell have to agree to it? Is the arbitrator's decision the final decision?
I don't know the answer to that.
Because I don't feel like it is. Yeah. But maybe it is.
Then why even have the arbitrator?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe that's wrong. I can't. I always feel like in the end, Roger Goodell has full authority over everything until a court, like an actual court, right, is involved. And an arbitrator is not a court.
Then it's truly a song and dance. If that's the case, then he's saying, yeah, I'll let you look at it so maybe it gets it off my plate. Just agree with me to six. Mm-hmm. Then it comes back to two. No, it's six. Then what's the point? It's going to make Goodell look even sillier in the public opinion.
Right. No, I have no idea. Keeping track of these suspensions is one of the hardest things to do. Yeah. You know, we mentioned how bad the Bengals were a few years back when all of this really started with Roger Goodell. How freaking bad are the Cowboys? The Cowboys are awful. Like, I get a weekly magazine, digital magazine sent to me, every week it's this person. Okay, well, now that you know, there's a bunch of players starting tomorrow at 1 o'clock that aren't going to be able to report for practices or be in team facilities for most of them for 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
There's like seven players. That's the Dallas Cowboys.
Jerry's had a different approach, right?
I felt like he got away from that for a while because this isn't the first time we've had this conversation about, mm-hmm, the Cowboys. Now there's similar to in basketball when your team goes over the salary cap, you have the repeat offenders, mm-hmm, tax. Now, when you have knuckleheads on your team, you have the repeat offenders tax.
A different way, yeah.
We're talking entirely different use of the word offender. But it's like Jerry's just sitting here. He's dropping $250,000 year after year because the team that he puts on the field is made up of a bunch of knuckleheads who get arrested, have PED issues or recreational drug issues. We could talk about recreational drugs all you want. They're still illegal in the NFL for now.
Yeah. For now.
Josh Gordon can't get back in the league.
Right. Because he can't get himself right.
Alden Smith can't get back in the league.
Yeah.
Hell, at least we can go back to Alden Smith and look at his court, his exit from jail and go, okay, well, that's kinda why.
Yeah.
That's, for a guy
who self-destructed.
For a guy who was told, you're going to get back in, you're going to be reinstated on this day, to pull that stunt a week before that date gets here, I don't blame them.
Mm-hmm.
What about Josh Gordon? Can we get some sort of explanation? Because he went to rehab. We know he's been working out. You're just not going to say anything? Oh, it's not on our mind right now?
Yeah, which is such a vague. What does that mean? There's no timetable. There's no, when is it on your mind? I know it's one player, but people are interested in what might be happening with his future.
Yeah, vague isn't even the word. I would call it a word that rhymes with stick move.
Mm-hmm.
That's what, like,
yeah.
I mean, I assume that they've told him, or at least his representatives, or have said something to him. At least I would hope they have.
Yeah, more than they've given us, like, it's not on our mind.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't want to tell us what it is, because I'm sure a lot of people are. I'm very curious if Josh Gordon is ever going to play in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
He is a stud wide receiver. And his issue is with marijuana. At least we think it is.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he's been suspended for. I don't know if he has other issues that they've been working through, but at least tell us no. We know why Alden Smith isn't in the NFL.
Exactly.
Yeah, and maybe we know a little bit closer here because we're the home of the Raiders and, you know, he's in our area. But I feel like anyone who saw that knows why Alden Smith isn't going to be reinstated into the NFL at least this year or probably in the foreseeable future. We don't know that. We don't know why Josh Gordon hasn't been reinstated yet.
And Gordon's primarily been the same thing, kind of the repeat offense of the same kind of thing, where,
right,
Alden had a grab bag of different things.
You know who else has been a repeat offender of the same type of thing? Vontaze Burfict.
Mm-hmm.
And he still got his suspension resumed. Right. I can't get over that. I can't get over the fact he got a 3-game suspension last year for targeting a player. In their write-up to him, they said, this is consistent with your type of behavior, and we cannot condone it. You hit a defenseless receiver in back-to-back years in playoff games. So we're just going to suspend you for the same exact amount of time we did last year?
Right, and now it's a preseason game. You do it. We go to 5, drop to 3. Yeah, inconsistent.
Again, exactly.
Yeah.
That's what the NFL is. Or at least that's what their punishments are.
Sure.
The preseason wrapped up yesterday. That's good news.
Week four, always the best week. The home teams, people that have that home ticket. Boy, I love football, but that's a tough game to go to.
The Cleveland Browns were 4-0.
Is that the most wins they'll have? Will they get that in 16 games?
Did they double their win total on the year? The Baltimore Ravens were 4-0.
Two teams were very high. No, we're not.
No. I am so not high on Baltimore, but their offense was good. Maybe I think the Baltimore one I'm going to have to eat, and I might have to eat it early because it looks like their defense is still good.
Well, we'll see, though. I mean, again, preseason, like, are you worried about the Raiders at 0-4? I mean, worried.
Well, I'm a little worried about one side of the ball.
Yeah.
I'm a little worried about one side of the ball. The Broncos were 4-0.
Okay.
I think there's one other 4-0. Oh, Douglas, Dale, Christie. The Seattle Seahawks were also 4-0. Of all of the teams I just named, that's the only one that really matters, right? That you can look at and go, yeah.
That you think will be good, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, I don't even care remotely about preseason records. But, I mean, when you're going out in the play, you want to see what your guys look like. I think the Raiders' first group offensively has been fine, mm-hmm. more than fine. In Seattle, I expect good things. If they're 4-0, 0-4, 2-2, wouldn't much matter to me. But, yeah, 4-0's nice.
There was another 0-4 team. There were two of them. The Raiders were one.
Mm-hmm.
The Atlanta Falcons.
Super Bowl hangover?
For sure.
Yeah.
Definitely what
That's
it is.
That's 5 in a row for them. I'm counting that other. That other one was pretty important.
A little bit. Yeah. That was a little bit important.
Yeah.
A little bit important. Counts as two. We'll call them 0-6. LeBron and Ty Lue, how are they feeling about the Isaiah Thomas trade, knowing Isaiah might not be back for a while? We actually got a quote from the Ringer? No, The Athletic wrote about it. When Isaiah might actually be back, this injury seems to be far more significant than any of us ever knew. We'll talk some basketball as we kick off hour number two on this Friday edition of The Lowdown next.